Okay. Look with me to the book of Luke. This Christmas season is an opportunity for you to manifest neighborliness, to be a neighbor. What does it mean to be a neighbor? I honestly came to this series and have had my thinking shifted. I appreciate that. You know, the Word of God has changed what I think. Jesus surprised me with some of the things he said. Even though I knew them, I didn't know them as well as I thought I did until I dug in. And I discovered, being a neighbor, it's not finding someone who's the neighbor. It's using moments and converting those into times when I become a neighbor. It's like, this is not about finding someone who is my neighbor. This is about connecting and intersecting with someone. And at that moment, yielding to some things in the Spirit, yielding to some things that God has done in me, and then converting that moment into a place where now I become a neighbor to them. And so it's not about finding the right people, it's about your willingness. Because when I looked into this parable that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 10, when in response to someone trying to trick him, someone trying to shift and deflect the conviction they had that with what Jesus had said, because it had come down to this. In verse 27, when they were looking at what are the greatest laws from the old covenant, what are the greatest rules? These two became the greatest. You shall love the Lord your God. This is Luke 10, 27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. If you do that, Jesus said, if you do that, you'll get your relationship with God right. He didn't say if you attend church every day, if you read your Bible seven times a week. You know, he didn't say any time. He talked about the fact that you'd love God with everything in you. And then if you do that, then God can work all the other things in you. Doesn't stop there, but that means that then God can work. But the second thing is, and the book of James refers to this as the royal rule or the kingly rule. It says, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. So if you do those two things, and especially if you do that, if you love your neighbor as yourself, he said, that's a summary of all that's in the old covenant can just be summarized into that area. So this is not what you do in order to get saved, because the old covenant wasn't able to save you, but the old covenant was able to guide you and direct you to the things that God thought was important. But obviously there was a lot of ceremonial things there. There was a lot of representative things there. There was a lot of shadows there that God says, you don't need to do those anymore. You don't need to sacrifice a lamb, because the lamb has come. That lamb was just pointing you to the Lamb of God, and Jesus has come, so we don't need to do that anymore. You know, so there was days and there was ceremonies, there was sacrifices, all written into the covenant in order to prepare them and point them and to represent what was coming. But when what was coming has come, you don't need to do it anymore. All right? You know, Chris and Pri have had a baby only a few months ago, little Sadie. And I'm sure being their first baby, they had to get ready for that baby. All right? And so you do things like you have to buy car seats and things, even though you don't have a baby. And sometimes what they do is they give you a size and a measurement and a doll to work out whether this will fit and things like that. But you know what? That doll is good to help you prepare. But it would be weird if they now had two car seats in the back of their car. One for Sadie and one for the doll. Would that be like, whoa. If you got into the car with them, and he said, what's that? They said, oh, yeah, that was our preparation, getting everything ready, make sure the size was right. Well, what have you got it for? Well, you know, it was pretty important. We made a real connection with that doll. And we're like, that's weird. The doll's got no life. The doll's not going to grow. The doll's not going to do any of those things. The doll was just a shadow, a pointer, a place showing you what things would be like, so you could get ready. All right, that's the old covenant. And people who go back to the old covenant, that's weird. That's not right. There's no life there. Paul said you can't find life there. That's Jesus, this is why Jesus came, because it was never, ever going to fulfill that. So we are not trying to do this in order to fulfill the old covenant in terms of then get life, because that's not what's going to happen. You're not going to get your forgiveness of sins from the old covenant. You don't. It's not going to work. But what you have is, in the old covenant, is the some directions which are beyond and outside of the shadows and the ceremony. They show things which are going to be fulfilled in Jesus, and they help us to get the whole heartbeat of what God was talking about. And he said, so if you would just do this one thing, if you would love your neighbor as yourself, you'll all that law gets sorted in that one thing. And you can, that shows you how to live, because when we're saved, we're born again, we still want to express this out. It's got to be outworked. And so how do we do that? And this law helps us. And so this one rule meant that the expert in the old covenant law, he was like, oh, well, who's my neighbor? Trying to distract, trying to deflect. This is a little bit, can't we speak about something that I'm more comfortable on? Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. Have you ever had a sermon and you're like, I didn't come to church to hear this. I came to get myself made happy, you know, and this is getting a little bit close to the bone. This is making me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Well, that's healthy for you. You want that. You need that. You need that. You need the word of God that prunes and trains and equips you and makes you ready for every situation. And so appreciate that when Jesus said, well, okay, I'll show you a story. And so remember, the expert in the law was asking this question: who is my neighbor? How do we define that neighbor? Who is that person that I've intersected with? Jesus is talking in the context of, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll fulfill this. All right, so who's my neighbor? Does Jesus answer that question? No, he doesn't answer the question. The other thing that I found very interesting is, it's all about loving your neighbor, and the word love is not used in the parable. What is wrong with Jesus? Doesn't he understand how this works? He neither answers and talks about love. He doesn't say who loved their neighbor. He said who was a neighbor, who became a neighbor. And how did we know they became a neighbor? It doesn't say because he showed him love. Now, he did show him love, but that's not what the focus is. Sometimes if you do one thing, you'll end up fulfilling something else. All right, let me explain this. Some people pursue freedom. They want to be free. How many here want to be free? I want to be free. I want to be free. And if I said, let's all pray and let's all believe for freedom, but that's not how the Bible tells you to get free. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you don't chase freedom, you chase truth. If you catch truth, guess what the truth will do to you? Make you free. All right, so sometimes you're chasing the result, you need to chase the source. You hunger after the source, and guess what? When you chase the source, you find you're living in the result. Okay, so there are things that you are doing. You know, so some people say, I want this, and God says, well, do this. Oh, I'm too busy trying to get this to do that. Because if you do this, you hunger after the word of God, you pursue me, you'll get the results that you're wanting. All right, it's like someone say, I really want to lose weight. I'm too busy to exercise and look after my diet. Well, you know what? If you exercise and take care of your diet, guess what you'll do? You don't have to pursue losing weight. You have to pursue eating well and exercising. All right, you get that? You don't have to pursue losing weight. Don't worry about losing weight. Pursue this lifestyle. The weight will take care of itself. All right, so if you're struggling with something, sometimes God says do this. So, okay, our aim is to love our neighbor as ourselves. We don't pursue love. We do what God tells us in the parable. There's two things to do. That's not the word love, but if we do that, guess what? You'll end up loving your neighbor as yourself. If you do those two things, you'll end up doing what God calls us to do. So I say, so if you say, I've got to love my neighbor, got to love my neighbor, well, how do I love my neighbor? Okay, well, you do these things that Jesus talked. And he said that there was three people in the story. there was, because there was a certain man, just a man, was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him, and he went off leaving him half dead. And by chance, it just happened. It's all just happening. This is what happens. This is how enabling stuff happens. When you are just in a situation, you don't have to create the situation. This is not you becoming, this is not your ministry calling. This is not what you're going to do for the rest of your life. This is not something even that goes on to, ongoing. I thought it was really interesting. He picked a story, and if you're familiar with it already, and we've spoken over the last few weeks, so I'm sort of jumping ahead a little bit. At the end of the story, it says he looked after him for a day, but then he had things to do. He had places to go and places to be. So he paid some extra money and said, look after him another day, and if it needs more, when I come back the next time, but he left him. He didn't become, this is my ministry, this is my calling, this is my purpose, is looking after this man. It's just like, I just did it. We intersected, I showed kindness, I ministered, but then I moved on. And I didn't even finish it to, you know, I did what I could. So to me, it's not like, this is my grand calling in life. I'm not going to find someone that's going to become someone that we connect with forever. It's just, no, I connect, I do what God says, I minister life, and then we just move on. But that person has been affected and helped, and God has said, you've became a neighbor, and you are fulfilling the greatest law and doing what I've called you to do. So it just happens, connections, but then it's not like permanent connections. Just good things happen, kind things happen. You just don't know the effect of it, and you do what you can to help. And sometimes it might lead to greater things. You know, people you connect with, you know, they might end up becoming lifelong friends. But it doesn't have to be like that. I'm just saying, we're not talking about things that you intersect with and then stay there. No, you help them. You don't have to go all the way. You just do what God shows you. You're not committing, because sometimes it's like, I don't have 6 months. All you have to do is have 6 minutes. Just do what God's called you to do. That's all right. This is what we're talking about. Just do what you can do. So he happened. A priest happened to go by. A Levite happened. But they just like, oh, they crossed to the other side. I don't want to intersect. I don't want to get involved in this. I don't want to be doing this. But a Samaritan. Oh, they despise Samaritans. And he goes on and shows something. But it says something happened to him. Something happened when the Samaritan walked by. He looked at this man who had been beaten up. Something happened. And this is the first key. If you're going to walk in love and fulfill this call, something happened, and it's to do with your splagnon. All right? Just turn to the person and say, how's your splagnon? I really feel as if they missed some vowels in this word. All right? Any word that's got a G-C-H-N in a row without any vowels is just not helping us. Okay? It's S-P-L-A. Then G-C-H-N-O-N. So, and the C-H is the sound. You know, when you clear your nose type, you know, it's the in Loch, you know, in Loch Ness, there's no silent there, there's a Loch. The Hebrew language is full of them. This is a Greek one, all right? The Greek's got one Greek letter. But then they put the G in front of it, and an after it, so you got to clear your nose and finish with an N. All right, if you can do that, you've got this splagnon. So what is your splagnon? Your splagnon is your intestines. It's your bowel. It's your innards. You better have one, otherwise you're in real trouble, all right? But it's not talking about the physical bowel or the physical intestine or the physical inward. It's talking about the inner part of your being. The deep part, you know what I mean? Because you know, like, you know, I've heard it said, you know, this is the Greeks would be hopeless in singing songs. Imagine, you know, a baby, you know, I give you all my splagnon. What's that? My bowel. Oh, this is just not working for me. Do you know what I mean? So, but it actually means the deep part of you, the really deep, the part that is it feels things deeply. All right, so when you, so what it says is when the Samaritan was on the journey, he came upon this man who'd been beaten up. It says he splagnismied. He splagnismied, all right, which means something in him moved. He felt something. The other two when they saw, felt nothing except they were focused. You know what I mean? They didn't leave. They didn't. It starts in here. You feel something. It's lachmizamai. And we translate it as compassion. He felt something. Many times Jesus healed and ministered out of this very thing. When Jesus saw them, it said he felt spagnizomai. He felt something in him. He felt something. He looked. He just didn't heal out of his faith and out of his love, but out of something that was moving inside. And if you want to love people, you've got to let that thing be active. All right, you can't clamp it down and shut it down because I'm busy, I'm focused, I'm fearful, I'm angry with life. I feel as if my life's going nowhere. I got no. You know, some people will say, I've got so many struggles. I've got no room to be moved. Does that make sense? I'm caught up with what I'm going through. All my splagnismi is in me. I'm just focused. I'm busy. It's not going to work for me. Or I'm fearful. What would happen? Are they going to take advantage of me? Is this going to become a 6-month commitment? You know, all those. I can't. You know. But then he went and he bandaged up his wounds and all the rest. And then it says at the end, which one became the neighbor? It said the one who showed not love but mercy. Mercy is an act of kindness, which is a downward act. It's where you take something that you have and you push down. All right? Mercy is a downward motion. Freely I have received, and I just give out of that. That's why some people say, I don't think I've got anything to give. I feel so empty. No. You just look at what God has given you. Just give out of that. Just the kindness and the mercy and the little bit that God's given me. You don't have, it's not a full thing. It's just, so spagnizomai, this compassion, and then an act of mercy. That this is. So I was studying this morning afresh, and a whole lot of other verses to do with it. And I was, you know, it was just really big in my heart. But in doing so, the family had already left. Normally we get here early. We have a team meeting at 8:45. So often that's our aim. That's our, you know, and sometimes we're here at 8:00 or earlier. You know, just to be here to set up to do things. And things happened, and I didn't have to be here. There was one carload that had already gone. And I was able to take my time. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to make the team meeting, so I'm not going to meet here. I'm going to spend a bit more time reading spagnizomai and just, you know, getting my spagnizomai working and understanding that. Took my time. So by the time I left, I was very late for me. That was about 9:30. Like, that's late for me to be leaving. I'm driving, turned the corner, driving, still about 5 minutes from church. Driving out. As I'm driving, I see out of the corner of my eye, on the other side of the road, a person in a wheelchair. And I thought, they're going up a slight angle on the sidewalk. And I said, they look like they're struggling a bit. Because it was, you know, like a hand. That's all, just gone past. Then, you should help them. Feel for them. My next thought was, I would, but I'm late for church. I honestly said, I'm just really late. And I felt like heaven went, I honestly felt like, really? Really? That's what you're going to say at this moment? That's really what you're going to do? You're going to give me the, I would, but... You know, Lord, I pray for someone else to see that person while I'm... Because I love them. I love them. But love doesn't count if you don't spagnizomai followed by an act of mercy. All right, they are not my neighbor until something moves me to an action. Okay? I can't... Love doesn't work unless something moves me to the point of action out of care. So I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, this would be the dumbest thing to get to church. I'd feel so bad. I wouldn't be able to preach it, I think, if I, you know. I'd be like, justifying myself the whole way here, and then I wouldn't be able to sit still. I don't know, you know. Then I'd drive back, and they wouldn't be there. You know, it would just be awful. So I quickly get over, do a U-turn, come back, and then, you know, because helping people, you go into the unknown. Okay, you go into the unknown. You know, I remember many years ago as a teenager, I was trying to help a friend. And afterwards, God, I was praying about it. So God said, you know, when you try and help a hurt dog, they will often bite your hand because they're hurt and they're scared. So you got to be wary. And so I was like, I'm not going to help people. And I did, just lie there in your sick state, your sorry self. No, but if they bite you, you know, I'm aware that helping people is not, you know, I don't want to paint a picture. Every time you do this, you know, the angels come and they throw rose petals in front of you and the trumpets, and you go, you know, they say, here is the woman of God who is, you know, helping the world. And look, you know, the cameras come out, and if they don't, you take a selfie on Facebook. Here I am. Oh, where are they? Come on, get back here, get in the photo. So I didn't take a selfie. But I'm just aware, things can go south, things can get awkward, things can go difficult. You know, people can then impose, are you going to do this? You know, people, you know, you try and help and they want to, you know. So I'm aware. But splagnong and mercy gets beyond that. Because otherwise you just can't be a neighbor. All right, you can't let past bad experiences stop you from being a neighbor. That's the honest. You know, so I pull around and I think, okay, how am I going to do this? You don't think these things through. You know, how many get to then suddenly, now what? I'm like, well, are they going to be angry with me? What am I going to do with the car? The guy's just coming up to just a driveway. So I think, well, I'll pull into the driveway. I don't know where I'm going or what I'm, but I go into it and there's a car park there. I come to find out it's an aged care facility, I think, connected with the Catholic Church. I didn't even know. It's, you know, 1 minute away from us and hadn't really paid attention. So I pulled up, there's a car spot, I get out. The guy, now he's got on the driveway, not on the side, and he's coming up. And I think he looks like he is struggling. He's an older man. And so I go down to him and I sort of, hey, can I just give you a hand? You know, just get behind him. Don't ask too many questions. You know, I don't want to make him beg, you know. Yeah, you know, hey, you know, something like, let me just help you up this hill. And he goes, oh, okay, thank you. So I push him up and I get, we're about three quarters of the way up, and he goes, his literal words, he says, God sent you. And I'm like, you don't know how true that is. If it wasn't for God, I'd be on my way to church, buddy. It was God. God got me here. God's like, what are you doing? Well, I'm late. Get over there. And he actually said, God sent you. I said, well, I believe that. I didn't go, I thought, you know, I won't go into the whole story, but, you know, that's true. And I said, are you a believer? His response was yes, but told me there was, he swore about how he was a believer. Yes, you are, sort of. Yeah, he says, I never miss Mass. Okay. And he goes, to be honest, I don't think I would have got up. I don't think I would have made it. He said, he was struggling. He actually said to me, I don't think I made it up the hill. He was spent. He said, had some groceries in a bag and he'd obviously, got there, maybe come on the bus. I don't know how he got there, but he was, and he said, just get me to the top of the hill. Then it's down from there. And I thought, you know, I've been involved in wheelchairs the last couple of weeks, you know, a couple of months with Jay, and I know what it's like, you know, so we up the hill. And I'm like, I'm not going to leave you, you know. And so I said, oh, and there's a ramp. I'll take it. So it took me a minute to take him to the entry into this apartment, you know, and he beat the card and they went in. And he said, actually, you saved me 30 minutes. He says, it takes me half an hour to get to do this because the slope down is difficult. Do you know what I mean? And I said, can I pray for you? He said, oh, yeah, and shut the door in my face. So I think that I meant pray for you now. He obviously meant go away and pray. But his name was Graham. So I thought that's easy to remember. All right, I guess I'm going home. Or I'm going to church. But I tell you what, I was almost in tears when I was getting in the car thinking, thank you, God. Thank you, God. If it wasn't for you, I would have missed the opportunity to become a neighbor. I became the neighbor by that inconvenience and that opportunity to just become and whatever, get involved in someone, not knowing how far or how deep or what would. Afterwards, it's easy to recognize that was God. I feel so good, you know, like, it's someone else, you know. Feel. How many, once you've done it, you just feel like, then you feel like telling everybody, you really should show more boldness, you know. It's like when you mow your lawn, you walk down the street saying, people, come on. Show a bit of care and love for our neighborhood, will you, you know. Have a look down at number 70, you'll find it's really well mowed and the edges are done, lawn swept, and the path swept. Look at this guy. You know what I mean? But when I haven't had a chance to mow the lawn, it's, I'll show a bit of grace, you know what I mean? I've got a busy lifestyle, kids to look after and stuff. Yeah. Anyway. That's how you become a neighbor. You see, something moves you, but you put action to it. And you become a neighbor. And that's one way you think, okay, you can feed someone, you can buy someone, you can pay for someone. You can forgive someone. Forgiving someone is actually an act of neighboring because you are downward giving. They've hurt you. You're in the position of holding that against you. You can hold against them. You're welcome to. That's your right. It's your privilege. But I wouldn't. Because when you look up at what God has forgiven you for, it's pretty dangerous to hold back any forgiveness from anyone. But it is something you are upward above. So active, forgiving someone is an act of being a neighbor because it's a downward mercy action. All right? So you show compassion, I forgive. And you just become a neighbor to that person. You provide something, you have a little bit more, you give something. You just became a neighbor to them. As long as you're giving down, as long as you're not trying to impress someone up, that's not neighboring. All right? If it's helping down, you become a neighbor. If they can't, I'll give to you, now you give back to me. That's not so much neighboring. But if you give to someone who can't give back, then that's a mercy path. But it starts with something in here where you say, I care for someone else. We'll look at a little bit later how that we develop that care and develop that understanding. There's some help in Proverbs and other places that can help us with that. But I just wanted to share that with you. Because at Christmas time, you'll have opportunity to take, you'll see something will go off, and then you've got the choice, are you going to put action to it and make it a mercy action? And then that person, they don't become your neighbor. You become a neighbor to them. You have just done something which fulfills everything that God wants. Doing little things like that, that's God's like, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand.